and welcome to the 108th edition of the GoMeanGreen.com Barbershop Podcast. This is Evan.
This is Harry.
And we are here to talk North Texas football and North Texas athletics. Harry, a win against Texas Southern.
Big win. You know, whenever you can get a home, your home opener as a W, that's always a big positive, especially if you're a North Texas fan. Gotta say, you know, I didn't have high expectations. You know, you're playing an FCS opponent to open the season. It's not the University of Houston, but I was pleasantly surprised with the crowd, especially the student crowd. A lot of energy. They were loud. They stayed after the second half. You know, I just cannot say enough about the student support in that game. It was just fantastic.
I will say this, Harry, I want to commend you on your pictures, because one of some of those pictures, and here's the problem, none of my friends can see that because you and I are admins for the page. So if I go in and try to like the picture in Facebook, it just shows that GoMeanGreen.com likes their own picture. It doesn't show me as liking the picture, but some of those pictures were great. The student side was great. I took four or five pictures with my iPhone, posted one on Facebook during the game. I had another one at the end of the game. I'd say there was probably a good at least half the students left right before the game was over. A lot of them stuck around for the alma mater. It was a great showing of students, and they were into it. And the pictures you had showed that.
Well, I tell you, it was not hard to take those pictures because there were lots of great shots. And honestly, it was very fun to be out there and see those students so excited. We had good weather. We had good energy. We got a W. I mean, you know, as a North Texas fan, how often do you get to say that? And, you know, it was not a name opponent. Someday, hopefully, we will get a bigger name opponent to come to Apogee and fill up the wing. But for right now, I think given, you know, we had a pretty decent showing against LSU, even though the score didn't indicate that, then you come back home, you win a game, you have a good turnout of fans, especially students. You know, that's something you can hang your hat on if you're a North Texas fan. So I think, honestly, most of the people close to the program I'm talking to right now are real pleased with where they are.
I liked what we saw the students. I liked what we saw the fans. The alumni side, something to be desired there. There's a lot of issues going on. But did you think that the outcome of the game would be what it was, or did you expect more or less out of this team?
I was hoping for a little bit more. I think, you know, as has been well chronicled, I mean, honestly, Derek Thompson had a rough night. I mean, there's just no two ways about it. Instead of dogpile on him at this point, I think you hope and pray that it was just, you know, a bad night. And everybody has those from time to time.
And you want to think that, and I do as well. The first week, I was excited about his play. You know, he had two drop passes early on, but they were spot-on passes, and they were short passes. I didn't see any of those short passes this time. It seemed like a lot of them were long throws, stuff that he overthrew, but there wasn't a touch on the ball. And I don't know, you know, Chico seemed to be really upset at maybe some of the decisions he was making, but, yeah, his performance really wasn't what we expected of him.
No, and you're going to have those nights. I mean, the reality of it is you were thinking this would be a big breakout game. But let's give Texas Southern a little bit of credit. They had a few players. I mean, I saw them out there. They have some guys, don't know where they came from or how they got there or whatever else, but probably some guys that could play for some pretty good Division I teams right now. So, you know, let's give them the benefit of the doubt. That's sort of my feeling on this. We want Derek Thompson to be successful. If you look at the drop-off behind Derek Thompson, it's pretty significant. That's not taking that's not saying anything about the backups. They're good players. But honestly, we need Derek Thompson to be successful this season.
So, you know, TSU, I feel like we should have won the game by maybe 14 more points. There was a lot of Breland Chancer in the end zone, Delgado running down the side. What about the play calling? You know, a lot of was said about the first week, really conservative play calling because we wanted to get away, you know, get out of LSU alive, and we did, and we had a great showing, we all felt. But how did you feel the play calling was this week?
I had mixed emotions. You know, Mac's a smash mouth. He's similar to Dickie in a certain regard and so different than Dodge. He likes to play the line of scrimmage. He likes to run it up the gut. There were some times there where I felt like Texas Southern was really loading up against the run. Well, part of that was we weren't really doing anything in the passing game. So, I think it was a pretty good play calling. I mean, we had 200-yard rushers. You can't argue about the running game. It was a very successful night there. I think there were some times I would have liked for him to open it up a little bit. I was a little disappointed when Brett Osborne finally got into the game. He didn't even get to throw a pass. But I think at that point it was so late in the game. You know, Coach Mack didn't want to run up the score on these guys. So I would say I was okay with the play calling in this game.
What about the offensive line? Because when we played LSU, they held and they did not sack us once. How did you feel like the offensive line played this week?
I think they did pretty good. I mean, the strength of this team right now is the offensive line. I mean, I think that is the strength of this team. And I think what they did against LSU was remarkable. I think they had a pretty darn good game against Texas Southern, too. It wasn't an issue of Thompson not getting time to throw the ball. It was just a matter of not executing the pass. So I would give good grades to the offensive line. You know, on the coach's show, they talked about Mason Yabarro got an award. they call him the Badger, which is kind of interesting because he's not the tallest guy in the world, and that's probably why we ended up we were able to get him to come to North Texas. But, man, that guy is the toughest offensive lineman you've ever seen for his size. He had like 14 knockdown blocks or something just outrageous. So, you know, and that's a guy that's a sophomore that's got two more years after this season. I mean, there's a lot of youth. Cyril Lemon gets a lot of praise, and he deserves it. We talked about him at the last podcast. That's another guy that's going to be around for a couple more years. You've got a really bright future in the offensive line.
Offensive line, good. The defensive line, obviously we had some sacks. You know, we've allowed zero sacks this year.
It's remarkable when you consider not Texas Southern as much as LSU.
Right.
The fact that we got through that LSU game without a sack, that's something you can hang your hat on.
Right. And we sacked them four times for 27 yards, at least that's what the stats say. One thing I want to say about the defensive side of the ball, I think we're all pleasantly surprised. I feel like we've come a long way from last year, what we saw on the field. Whitfield, what can you say about what you've seen from him so far?
He's been amazing. He had the pick. You know, Coach Mack mentioned, midweek, on the coach's show, that there were several other picks he could add. The entire defensive secondary compared to what we had in the past is like a huge improvement athletically, more aggressive. You're seeing these guys make plays, and you're not seeing anyone just get completely, you know, their jock beat on too many plays this season. I mean, there are some, but you remember in the past some of the guys we had, it's just like, you know, does this guy know how to cover? So I think the secondary has been a real bright spot, especially when you consider the youth of the secondary that we have and the fact that we have so many young guys back there. You know, Hilbert Jackson never really got a lot of playing time before. Zach Whitfield, basically his first time to play. You know, he's a freshman.
He's got two interceptions in two games, and he's almost got more than that when you look at some of the plays.
Yeah.
There were several of them, and we probably should have had a few more interceptions, but I'm not going to be greedy on those. We did what we did, and we could move on. It was Texas Southern.
It was, but, you know, it's a win. The students, they're not as picky as we are. We analyze this stuff probably more than our wives want us to. Those students saw a win at home, good weather, good crowd, good performance by the band. It was something that's going to get them to come back again. And I tell you, we talked about it a lot on the board this week. You know, maybe the strategy of having a Texas Southern type game to open up your season every year. What do you think?
You know, and we were discussing that. This is about 22,000 people there. You bring in a team like that, it's a sure win. People are fired up. We're 1-1 right now. It sure does beat, you know, those 0-3 starts.
It does. And frankly, the other step I would like to see him look at is not playing the LSUs. Now, we know that isn't going to happen. But if you are going to play the LSUs and the Georgias to open up the season every year, wouldn't it be nice to come back home and have a game that you're probably going to win, that your fans can get into and feel good about to, you know, carry on into the rest of the conference slate?
Yeah, there was a lot's been said about that. And I feel I kind of had mixed emotions. And, you know, I know you hate the LSU games, but let's talk about Louisiana Monroe. because Louisiana Monroe had fans that were saying the exact same thing we were before the game, going, I hate these games. Let's get in without injuries. And all of a sudden, they've got media coverage for pulling out their second win against a ranked team in the past 5 years.
It's, you're happy for them. You're happy for the belt. But when, you know, we had our little post-game tailgate and someone was following that game on their iPhone, when they announced that Louisiana Monroe had won, which none of us believed would happen. I mean, do you really think an SEC team with SEC officials is going to let a team like Monroe win in overtime? It blew us away. We were all cheering. One guy in the tailgate, a guy that's on the board a lot, UNT90, Mike, he was lamenting the fact that why can't this ever happen for North Texas?
And Rob texted me the exact same thing. Why can we never be, you know, partake in such a great victory like that? But I think the bottom line is there's always that chance. You get a big payday. And let's be honest, the players, they want to play those games. They want to have play in front of 90,000 fans at LSU and make their play. You think Breland Chancellor would, like, you know, that, or what about Herbert?
Hilbert Jackson.
Hilbert Jackson, sorry, not Herbert. You know, some big plays and some highlights there. And you know that highlight. I was fully expecting in the opening, you know, they played a little video up there. I was fully expecting there to be a rough cut and paste of that highlight video of sacking the quarterback.
Hilbert Jackson knocking out Mettlenburg, or even, like you said, you know, seeing Breland Chancellor run down the field and outrun their secondary. Now, I mean, hey, I'm not opposed. You know, I want to clarify this. I'm not opposed to playing those types of games. I would like to see our program get a little farther along. Now, the problem with that is when you get to be like a Southern Miss or, you know, a Tulsa or someone like that, it gets a little harder to get those teams to schedule you because they know you've got a chance to win some of those games. But that being said, I would prefer it not to be a national championship contender. I would rather see someone that's kind of a little bit below that that is still willing to cut us a good check.
Right. So, and the guys in the chat room right now are talking a little bit about the tailgating scene, and we touched on a lot of students were out there. Tailgating scene was looking good. They changed a little bit around this year. A lot of people are tailgating over there in the extended lot next to Liberty Christian campus, the old Liberty Christian campus over there.
I noticed that when I was walking around, and, you know, I really don't have a problem with that. I guess in a perfect world, you'd have everyone in one central location, and I know they want people on the hill. But the reality is if people are parking there and they're having a good time and they're flying, I saw a lot of flags and
people
want to
they want a tailgate next to their tailgate.
Yeah.
And on the hill, you are parking and hauling stuff around, and that's not as convenient. Now, the thing is the Greeks are going to be up there. A lot of people are going to be up there regardless because that's kind of the place to be. But, you know, if we can get that area full, the red and blue lot full, and
if the
pedestrian bridge ever gets finished, people can park over there and take part in it. So I think it was a great tailgating scene. The Mean Green tailgating machine bus. Did you take a tour of that?
I did get to go through that. Really neat, really cool what Soundman Eric and Green Dozier on the board have done with that. Even to the point of having they have like the, it's not marble, but it's like real fancy flooring that's got white and green. And I mean, from what I understand, there's still a lot more that they're going to do to that. But what a great advertisement, wherever that thing goes. I mean, you know it's a North Texas bus, and I know that they've got some big plans. In fact, we may even be doing a podcast from that here in the near future.
Yeah, I think that would be kind of fun, man. Maybe a post-game or something.
It has electricity, so we can get all our gear. I did confirm that. So it's just a matter of working out the schedules and stuff. But I think that would be so neat.
It is a great thing, and, you know, people see that out there. I mean, this is serious. When you think about when we were tailgating 10 years ago, when Dickey came around, actually it was more than 10 years ago, but maybe 13 years ago, there was nothing out there. I mean, you know, the security was asking you, what are you doing out here? The game doesn't start for 6 hours. And you got those looks, and you're not having that now. And now it's just grown every year, regardless of the schedule. It just keeps growing, and it's wonderful.
I brought a lot of new people that have never been to a North Texas game to a T. Every single one of them is like, I mean, I'm not going to have any problems getting to come back. Some of them will end up buying season tickets. One good friend of mine bought family pack tickets, and he and his wife and family sat in the, it's kind of the diagonal, it's right in front of the mezzanine over there on the, it would be the northwest side of the end zone. Guy said they're the best seats. You know, I mean, he was kind of worried about it because they weren't going to be on the 50-yard line or whatever else. But he was like, man, these are great seats. He had a great time.
It, you know, and that's the thing. I've brought people. I've got two alum that one of them, my neighbor, and then I've got one that lives a couple streets down. Son plays my son. They're excited. They're like, hey, I'm in on the next one. Looking at the pictures, seeing that, seeing the win, seeing they want to see the new stadium. They're coming back, and that's what we need. Because obviously the alumni side needs more butts and seats. I know there were some issues with not having the seat backs in place, but honestly, I think this was going to be a tough year because I think the athletic department with this schedule might have been asking too much. With the minimum donation to get a seat over there, you know, and if you wanted to bring more than four people, you know, you'd have to really, your donation basically has to kind of double or triple, for like, four tickets, up to six tickets you could get for $500. But if you wanted eight, just two more, two families of four, you're looking at $2,500.
Yeah.
And that kind of, it's just kind of a weird, so they got to look at that. You know, next year when we look at a Conference USA schedule, you look at some of the teams we're going to have coming in here, I think that's a good thing. I think it's exciting. Ball State's coming here next year.
And right? Ohio's away.
And Ohio's away. So Ball State will come here. You know, that's not the huge, best, biggest name opponent, but it's a good opponent.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, they can sell the tickets next year. It's just going to be a little tough this year, but we've got to get more alums in there.
We do. I think, you know, there's a sophomore slump you hear about in terms of players, and I think there is with the whole Apogee North Texas scenario, because you had Apogee, which was just a life-changing event, you know, opening last year. I think you get a lot of people excited. And then I think it's probably normal when you follow that up, you know, you have a six-game season with two big-name opponents, Houston and Indiana, then you follow that up with just a five-game season and really no big-name opponents. And an opener, let's be honest, against an FCS opponent. So I think for them to have a little bit of slump in the second year is nothing to get down about. I think with the Conference USA schedule coming up, it's going to get a lot of people back on board. But I also think we got to be – looking around at the other Conference USA programs, the one that comes to my mind is Old Dominion. You've probably seen out there on the internet. I mean, those guys are selling their stadium out,
right?
You know, now they're not even Division One, or they're transitional or whatever else. So, I mean, the reality is we got to keep working and doing everything we can to fill it up.
Right. And a lot of people are going to say winning has a lot to do with that, but I think the mindset has changed. We feel like the intangible, the extra little 12th man per se is McCartney and the coaching staff and the way they put together a game. You kind of feel like we're in. When other times we would lose, we just weren't quite there. I feel like that we've got that extra little oomph there. So that's pretty exciting. You know, the schedule, if we were to do a 1AA in the coming years, I'm great. But, you know, with SMU series, with those Conference USA games, we've got a lot of things to look forward to, and a lot of people are going to be excited just because of the new conference. So
I totally agree.
So let's talk one more thing I was going to bring up on the TSU game. Southern brought their band. It was good. I'm going to just tell you this. They have a loud band. Now, for a lot of you guys that prefer to sit on the student side, which I don't blame you, because it's really loud over there. But for people that are sitting on the alumni side, whenever their band would start playing, it was crazy loud. The North Texas band would play. It sounded good, don't get me wrong, but the TSU band was smaller, and they were just so loud. I mean, you could hear them. The halftime show was good. It was good to see that. It was good to see a program bring
funk.
Bring their band. And then our band came out. I don't think I've ever seen 15 xylophones on the field at the same time.
I thought our band... I mean, I'm going to tell you right now, I thought that was an outstanding performance.
Huge, new, yes, they look good. And one of the things that I brought up, and I posted, I don't even know if I noticed this, but, you know, when I was in band, I played quads. We wore, only for contests, we would wear the plume, which is the feather. You know, you just wore the hats because you can really tell if the hat's crooked, you got a plume because the whole thing looks fine. They were wearing those. And I don't know if it was because, hey, Texas Southern's here, we got to step up our game. But the band sounded great. They looked great. The band is huge. I think it's bigger than it was last year. They got new uniforms. Everything rocks. So I was excited about seeing both the bands. This is the first time during halftime I didn't go up and go anywhere. And a lot of people didn't either. They waited till after halftime to go somewhere.
And I saw when Texas Southern was performing, I was taking some pictures, and it was interesting because our band was watching them very closely and was very interested to see what they did. And I kind of feel like they wanted to bow up a little bit and show what they could do. It was kind of neat to see a little bit of competition. You don't always see that, you know.
Well, do you think it was just by chance that 2 days before the games played, they ranked the top drum lines? Number one is North Texas. Number two is TSU.
That's
so
pretty close.
Yeah, that's the wow. That was that was real close. So Texas Southern played to the students. They didn't play to the alums. I wish I would have known that. I would have gone on the other side. When I was a kid, I used to love to watch the Bayou Classic. Southern University and Grambling. And I always thought Southern had the better band. But anyway, so I love watching good halftime shows. So that was kind of a treat for a lot of people.
It was.
So, hey, if you're going to schedule a 1AA team, bring them in. I was fine with that.
I'm good with that, too.
All right, so we probably need to move on. I mean, I know we've got some notes here, but we're going to have two guests tonight. We're going to have Brett Vito, the beat writer for North Texas for the Denton Record Chronicle. I know Vito's been fairly busy lately, a lot of things, new quarterback coming on.
Yeah, he's got some insights on Brock Berglund that I'm really interested in.
You don't want to really talk up Brock too much because we really want Thompson to really stick it out and be that guy. But, you know, let's be honest here, Harry. The Andrew Smith was probably the last one that we really would just thought was just all there. And before that, Mitch Mayer.
I think Visa was another guy. You know, I can't forget about him because he had a lot of ability, but in terms of just accolades, which means you hadn't done it yet at the college level.
Yeah, we had Scott Hall, which was he was a leader. He was a good quarterback, but he was a leader more than a quarterback. And you had Andrew and that whole situation there. But since then, it's just been a real Visa came and Visa
and
went.
He left.
He got killed. And, you know, I mean, we've really lagged that. I mean, look what Monroe put on the field. They've got a quarterback who just had they were sizing coconuts out there playing against Arkansas, and it showed.
Yeah.
So when you think about all those things, we really are we're looking for that guy to come in and be the Calvary. And so whenever we saw this, you know, it got everybody excited. But right now, Thompson's the guy. And my wife said, well, you know, he's screwing up a lot. Should they put somebody else in? I'm like, you know what? We're winning this game. What do we want? If he's going to have a bad game, this is it. And, you know, I think he wouldn't deny that he didn't have a touch on it the other night.
I think Mac was real fair about his assessment. He said, this is unacceptable. But I think he also said, you know, in the radio show that, hey, Thompson's our guy. I mean, he's a captain. He's a leader. He's a guy that, you know, the reality is we need Thompson to have a good season. We need Thompson to build. Now, on Berglund, he's got great accolades. He's got a big arm. I was fortunate enough to be down there near the sidelines and see him warming up. He was wearing number 4. It was cool to see him in the jersey. Guy's got a big-time arm.
It's good to see Pegram and all those guys in jerseys. I don't remember in the past seeing players that had to sit out the year wearing a jersey on the side.
Oh, it's great.
It made it easier to take pictures of them because you know who they were.
You knew exactly who they were, and I did get some pictures of them. But, you know, back to Berglund, this is a guy that North Texas, you know how we struggled for years and years. You know, I remember when we got Visa, I was just ecstatic. Mm-hmm. It's like this guy, you know, he had an offer from Nevada. Nevada. Mm-hmm. You know, Berglund had an offer from Colorado, from K-State, from Kansas. I mean, you can go down the list. This is a guy that's a big-time, you know, was a big-time high school player. Now, he has to prove himself. He has a long way to go. But when you can get a guy like that at the most important position on the team and have him wearing the green, that makes you a better football team. I'm sorry. It does. And I hope that Thompson has a great career. But having a little bit of competition – having somebody nipping at his heels, is that necessarily a bad thing?
No, I think it'll help him drive to be even better. And that's what we're hoping for, and that's what we need. We've seen people starting to step up. Before the season, we were talking about who's stepping up. And, you know, we've seen Whitfield and Trice. I love watching Trice. You see these guys step up, you know. In the offseason, we're going to the same thing. We've got Pegram.
Darius Terrell, the wide receiver from Texas.
You've got these several guys that are standing there. They're specimens. You're going, wow, this is – you know, we're looking towards the future already. But, you know, this year, with the way things are going in the belt right now, you know, who knows? We still got a good run at it.
I love how Mac's putting this team together. You know, Dodge sold out JUCO his last 2 years, especially his last year. Those guys are pretty much gone now. We're recruiting high school players. We're redshirting a lot of them this year. Not as many last year because we just needed them to play. But this year, we're redshirting a lot of those guys. And Mac's going to get to the point where every year you're going to have to be a really – impact kind of player to get on the field. Otherwise, you're going to redshirt, you're going to get in the weight program, you're going to get bigger and stronger, and that's how you build programs. So I couldn't be happier In terms of Mac as an architect. I mean, he is building this program the way that we want to build it.
And I can't say enough about the conditioning these guys are in. We saw it against LSU. LSU was tired. They were falling down. They were getting hurt. We didn't see that. North Texas didn't see that. I also want to commend the equipment manager because we're not losing helmets like they were losing helmets.
I didn't catch that.
You didn't see that? Oh, their quarterback went, or somebody went run up the middle. I think it was their quarterback. And we went low, and the guy went low and hit him hard, and the helmet went flying off. And it was like, whoa. I mean, there were several times they lost helmets. So.
You lose the helmet, you're off the field. That's right. A good
and
rule.
And one of the times there was a quarterback, so he had to go out. They had to bring a replacement in for one play and then bring it back in. That's kind of weird when you do the quarterback that way.
Yeah, no, it's a good rule. I agree with it 100%. And, speaking of strength coach, is there a better strength coach for North Texas right now than Frank Wintridge? I mean, that guy has earned his salary.
Exactly.
And
just for how they played against LSU and the how they were conditioned and ready for that game, and now they made it through the whole game without showing that they were really tired.
You were talking about pictures. I got a picture of Matt coming out with a team. That's always kind of an exciting time when the fan, right at the beginning of the game. He came out, and Frank Wintridge was, like, right next to him. It was almost like a president and vice president type of situation. But I thought that was so so apropos that you would have Frank Wintridge. No, he's not the offensive coordinator, defense coordinator. But, man, that strength coach is such an important component, especially at North Texas. And I've heard all the excuses through all the years. But how many times do we look out there on the field – see our guys holding their hands on their hips.
Exactly.
See our guys without the big guns and without the muscles and everything else. And now we're starting to see that turn around, which is fantastic.
Speaking of muscles, and I'm going to go ahead and bring this up because a lot of you listening, a lot of people probably stuck in traffic and listening to this. In the stands, there was a guy walking around with a picture of Mac with sunglasses on. And it was a green poster. It was really well made, actually. And it said, Muscles McCartney.
He posted glasses, that on the board.
Glasses, muscles, McCartney. Yeah. Okay, do you know what the whole thing is?
I don't.
Okay,
I don't.
Here's the deal. There is a Canadian TV show with a guy who does, and I think it's on YouTube too, where he wears the sunglasses and he's like into different foods. It's like a food show, kind of like what he's really into, what food he really likes, and they call him Muscles. And so now it's a take on that, and it's got to be a take on that, but... You know, it doesn't fit real. I love quirkiness. I just haven't gotten on board with this kind of quirkiness. I'm just trying to figure out. It's almost too much of an explanation for people unless you're from Canada.
When the guy registered on the board, I thought it was some kind of joke because his name is Christopher
Epic
Walken.
Epic Mealtime. That's what it was. Epic Mealtime. Okay, that's the name of the so YouTube, you can see. The muscles glasses.
I'm gonna disagree with you a little bit. I'm on board.
I think we should do something with the sunglasses. I just think this was kind of a stretch, and this was like a long way around.
But the sign itself is it attracts your eye. You know what I mean?
It was a well made sign.
It's a well made sign.
It was a well made sign.
And I didn't know what it meant until you just told me, which thank you for that. But I saw it on the board. The guy posted several signs of it on the board. And it was like, what is this about? It got me thinking about it and stuff. And it's cool.
Epic Mealtime.
Instead of be like, why is Coach Mac's eye going to be okay and all that kind of stuff? Use it as a positive. You know what I mean?
I know it is. It's a trademark.
I love the trademark of him. I think it's cool that he has the glasses.
Because that's the thing. You know, yeah, he's so cool. He has to wear sunglasses. And they're like, you know what? That's just being a jerk. Like, well, actually, he's got an eye condition. And they're like, oh. You know, yeah. So, you know, it's a win-win. Use it to your advantage. I'm sure we'll have sunglasses night. I mean, we almost did Trilly Hair Night. We could do sunglasses night. I think that's definitely a possibility. But, yeah, I can understand the quirkiness, and we definitely need to play on
that.
We'll
have to keep an eye on that and see how it goes.
Just be prepared to explain what Epic Mealtime is and what the sign has to do with people that you bring to the game. So there's a lot to go there. I'm excited. So, hey, let's go ahead. Oh, yeah, somebody just, Goff and Gomez, just put a link to the Epic Mealtime.
Cool.
90% of the students would recognize it. Well, obviously, that's why I don't know, because not only am I definitely not a student, but anytime I'm around campus, I feel like a dirty old man.
You were a student, you know, what, 25, 30 years ago?
No, 97 is when I graduated. I'm that long. Appreciate that. 15 years ago. All right. So
that was me that was that long ago.
Yeah, okay. There's a few people. Let's go ahead and take a pause here. We will mute the audio portion of this, and we're going to get, who are we going to get online first?
Johnny Quinn.
The great Johnny Quinn. All right, so
Be right back.
Yeah. All right. Joining us on the phone is North Texas Hall of Fame football player Johnny Quinn. Johnny, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
Hey, Johnny, you know, you have always been one of the players that so many people, you know, we used to like to call you Master Chief because of the whole love to play Halo. And
the Mighty Quinn is what I like.
Yeah, we were... You know, we were a great player to watch. Everybody loved watching you play, and a lot of fans, you know, like to know what you're doing these days. So give us a rundown on what you're up to these days.
Yeah, I got a couple things going on. Once football was over for me, I got involved with the sport of bobsled. So I'm now entering year three with the U.S. National Bobsled Team, and I'm looking to make a run at the 2014 Winter Olympics. So working diligently towards that, and I also in the meantime launched a business called The Athlete Watch, where we help navigate families in the college recruiting process. When I came out of McKinney High School, I had such a tough time getting recruited, and as a family, we thought if you score the touchdowns, if you make all the plays, you're going to get scholarships. And boy, were we wrong. We had to get out there as a family, visit schools, send out emails. We really had to be proactive. And thankfully, North Texas came in with a scholarship 2 days before signing day. So a lot of the passion that I have going on at the Athlete Watch is that I can relate with what these student athletes are going through right now in the college recruiting process.
So, Johnny, how does a guy go from, you know, outstanding college athlete, you know, at North Texas to bobsledding? You know, it's a neat sport. Through you, I've begun to learn more about it. But what led you to that path?
Sorry.
That's okay. Johnny, what I was saying is, how does a guy that was an outstanding
–
Okay, the guy that was an outstanding football player in North Texas and college athlete go the path of being a potential, you know, a USA Olympic bobsledding, I wanted to say player, but bobsledder. How did you get to that area? What was the path?
You know, they look for former football players with a track background. If you remember Herschel Walker in the 90s, he joined the U.S. bobsled team, and my agent represented a guy in the 2002 Winter Olympics that took silver. And so when football was done, this kind of came up on my plate, and, you know, a neat thing was is we sent some of my speed and acceleration film from the Michael Johnson Performance Center in McKinney to a brakeman who passed it on to a driver. And so I had a conversation with the driver at the Olympic Training Center, said, hey, do you want to come on out and try to push a bobsled? And 2 days before team trials, this would have been in October 2010, one of the guys on his sled was a little bit overweight. And so he calls me up. I fly in the night before team trials. First time ever on ice pushing a bobsled. I slip, but I get in, and we took third. So now I am working to try to make this 2014 Olympic team.
That's an awesome story, and I know, you know, as a North Texas fan, you know, the chance of us having a former player, you know, go to the Olympics is just that's a tremendous honor. It's got to be something that, you know, you're really proud of.
But I tell you what, the neat thing of a team again, you know, wearing red, white, and blue, representing the United States of America, and you know, being on a team with four guys where you're all working towards the same goal to push the sled as fast as you can, get in and work together. So it is so good to be part of a team again, I can tell you that.
So Johnny, let me ask you, so you got this business and you got this bobsled. Obviously, you can't practice bobsledding around here. You know, how are you dividing your time to do all this?
There is a training facility in McKinney called the Michael Johnson Performance Center that works with youth all the way up to world-class athletes. And so when I'm back in town during the off season, I'm able to get my lifting, sprinting, and everything I need in right here locally. And so that helps out tremendously as I balance running a business as well.
So, Johnny, I know that you guys are sure you can hear me. I know you guys are raising money for, to help out the cause, and, Olympics are not exactly like other countries, all those Eastern Bloc countries. They got all sorts of funds to throw at the sports, but United States is a little different. Tell us what you have to do and how hard it is to get funding to make sure you guys have a good shot at the Olympic medals.
What a lot of people don't know, and some do, and I think with London Olympics happening last month, really kind of stirred up the fire and had some great stories of athletes and what they have to do financially to make the dream come true. And unlike our fellow countries, the United States does not pay their athletes for their athletic endeavors. So in order to continue to train, to compete, and to ultimately pursue the Olympic dream, I personally have to go out and generate corporate and or private sponsorships to help offset bobsledding costs, flights, food, meals, expenses, things like that that are not covered. And so we have to go out and raise some awareness. And so what I've done recently was launched my website, JohnnyQuinnUSA.com, and we got a really cool feature on there where people can contribute immediately with a small donation. I am signing an 8x10 picture of the USA bobsled. It's actually of us in St. Moritz, Switzerland, my first year. We're going down the track. So it's a way to get people involved immediately, and just an appreciation with an 8x10 personalized picture that they can display at home or in their office. Because the goal is to get everyone on board, because there are not a lot of Texas bobsledders.
And Johnny, I got to say, you were kind enough to send me an autographed copy of this. And I'm telling you guys, we've got a lot of fans in our chat room right now and people that listen to this podcast on iTunes. You need to get this autographed picture. It is really cool. It's a great shot. I don't know who took this picture, but it was a damn good cameraman. And it's just a neat thing to have in your office or in your man room or wherever else. And like Johnny said, it's supporting a very important cause. And I think a lot of people think, the Winter Olympics is like the Summer Olympics and everything's paid for and all that kind of stuff. And it just doesn't work that way. So I'm glad you're getting a chance to communicate that out to the fans, Johnny, and I hope we'll get a lot of people that'll get behind you and support you on this.
Yeah, it should be good, and we've seen a lot of people come on board and order a photo, and very grateful for everyone that's contributed so far, and we've actually even opened it up that once you make a donation, I also have other photos on the site during my time at North Texas, my brief career in the NFL, so. Depending on what a fan wants, I can accommodate, and very grateful for any and all support.
So, Johnny, I got to ask, how does it feel to be in the Hall of Fame at North Texas? Last year you're in one of the most popular players in recent years by all means. And, how does that feel to be that? And when you get recognized by the fans, you got your picture inside the stadium there. How does that feel?
When I got inducted and was out there on that field, just overwhelmed with emotion, again, when I left McKinney High School and North Texas was my only scholarship to the Division I level, I was just so grateful to have an opportunity. And, to come on to North Texas when we were winning the Sun Belt, 4 years in a row and going to bowl games, I was really there during a special time, had a wonderful, wonderful coaching staff and teammates that I couldn't ask for anything better. So it was so neat to be selected, and what a testament to my teammates, coaching staff, and fans for the support, absolutely.
Johnny, I got to ask you the question. What was, and I know the Hall of Fame induction had to be the the top of the list, but in terms of when you were a player, what was your greatest memory of the teams?
That
or when
was
going
to be my question.
I'll see. That's great minds think alike. But what was your best memory of your time at North Texas as a player?
It would have been in 2004 when we were playing Idaho and Jamario Thomas broke the rushing record for most yards in a game. That evening, we put 50-something points on the board. Jamario broke the record. The offense was playing stellar, and it secured our fourth trip to the New Orleans Bowl in another conference. So that game clearly sticks out as one of my most favorite and memorable games at North Texas.
All right, Johnny. Well, we appreciate the time and glad you could be on with us. So if fans want to come and see your website, it's johnnyquinnusa.com. Is that correct?
Bobsled, a little bit of history on the sport. We want to get everyone educated so they're ready to rock and roll for the 2014 games in Sochi, Russia.
All right, Sochi, Russia. That's where the game's at?
Sochi, Russia, right on the Black Sea.
Wow, that's going to be cool.
All right, Johnny. Well, hey, we appreciate spending time with us. Well, hopefully we'll check in periodically, see how things are going, and, we'll keep it live on the board. And always great to see Mean Green alum doing well. So we appreciate the time and good luck to you.
Thanks. Take
care, John. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Johnny. Bye-bye. All right. Sorry about the technical difficulties there. It was great to talk to Johnny. He was by far one of the most electric receivers we've had in probably 10 years.
He was just such a great success story. And like he said, the truth of the matter was, it was a couple days before signing day, I remember it, that Johnny got his scholarship offer. And boy, aren't we glad that we did that. And isn't he proof positive that sometimes these rivals lists and various scouting sites aren't always correct. That's a guy that had heart and determination and absolutely.
I remember one game at Fouts Field, and I don't remember who was playing. Somebody in the chat room remember, but the corner of the end zone, which would have been probably the southeast end zone, he went up and just somehow managed to come down with the ball, stood up and did that whole cross his arms thing, and the place was going absolutely bonkers. And that was, I remember that, like, that was one of the best things I remember of him playing. So I'm glad that he's doing something and enjoying it, and he's not mailed it in to become an accountant or something. Not that there's anything wrong with people that graduate and be accountant, but he's still active, and seeing him doing this for the Olympics, I really want to see him do well in the Olympics, and I want to see him on TV. How great is that?
It's exciting, and you got to pull for a guy like Johnny. And I encourage everyone to support him. Again, that autograph picture is definitely something you want to look at. And, he's just a neat guy. He's a great representative of North Texas, and we just wish him nothing but the best.
All right. So with that, we are going to go to caller number two. We got about 15 minutes left in the podcast. And number two doesn't necessarily mean the last, but it is the great Brett Vito. So we're going to call him here just in a second. And so give us 1 second while we pause. All right, joining us now is the beat writer for the University of North Texas for the Denton Record Chronicle, Brett Vito. Brett, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
Brett, was the outcome one you expected? Obviously, you talk about wins and losses, but you don't really talk about what you think the score was going to be. Any surprises there?
I don't know. Not really. I thought maybe they would cruise through that game. But, you never know in situations like that. And that team was coming off a pretty big win, and North Texas got a little, it was closer than I maybe thought it was going to be, but you never know how those things are going to turn out.
Brett, so when you saw, obviously Thompson did not have his best game compared to his game against LSU. We saw some things in LSU, a couple of short passes dropped by receivers. Were you surprised? Did you think he was going to build on that? Or did you really see that, there might be a little less performance coming?
I don't know. I think it's hard to judge from game to game what guys are going to do or not going to do. I was kind of surprised that everybody has jumped on the throw Derek Thompson out with the bathwater, the baby out with the bathwater thing. For as much as North Texas has struggled trying to find somebody who can play quarterback for the last since 2004? I mean, how many guys did they run through there in that time? And they've had some pretty awful situations in there in terms of running guys in, running guys out. You know, they've always ranked at the bottom of the league. And Derek finally kind of stabilized that position, at least to a certain degree last year. And, you know, threw 11 more touchdown passes than interceptions, threw for 1,700 yards, threw for over 300 yards and a couple of wins late in the season. And, yeah, I mean, he didn't have a terrific game against LSU, but you knew that was coming. And then, you know, he didn't play very well against Texas Southern, but they ran the ball and they won. And now everybody's just, I mean, I think it's a legitimate question. And, of course, we asked, you know, what's going on with the passing game early in the season. But I'm far away from hitting the panic button on him. I think he's a good player and he's a level-headed guy. You know, he's at least an average Sun Belt quarterback, which is, for what they've had before, is a big step up. You know, I would give him a little bit of rope at this point.
Brett, you reported earlier in the week about linebacker Chad Polk's injury. Any updates on that? He seemed like a good player, put on some size in the offseason, was starting to come on a little bit. Can you give us an update there?
No, I mean, the thing with McCarney is he plays the injury stuff real close to the vest. I mean, he didn't say a whole lot. Occasionally you'll see him come out and say, hey, this guy's hurt or that guy's hurt or this guy's day-to-day. I mean, his policy usually is he won't say anything until somebody's done for the season. And you saw that a couple of times last year. He said, okay, well, this player's done for the season. And then otherwise he always says, oh, it's week to week. Well, you know, that could mean anything. You know, those guys could be out for 3 weeks. They could be out for 2 weeks. They could be out for whatever. And I try to tread lightly with that stuff because, I mean, he's pretty picky about, you know, what they say as far as injury information goes. But I think somebody told me that the kid broke his ankle and might be done for the year, might be back way late in the season. And I just, you know, and I went back and looked at it, and he suddenly vanished off the depth chart after that last game. So I don't think we're going to be seeing Chad Polk anytime soon. And I don't know, I think this starts to be a concern for North Texas. You're starting to stack up a lot of guys here at a team that's not super, super deep. I mean, they're pretty deep at linebacker, but at, like, defensive line in some spots, I mean, they're starting to lose some playmakers there on the defense where they really can't afford to be losing a ton of guys when the season really starts in the Troy game, and that's when the season starts. You got to be healthy then. You just hope that they don't go to Kansas State against a really brutal physical team and start having, you know, more random – kids pop up being done for an extended period of time like it looks like Polk is now.
Okay, I'll go ahead and address the 300-pound gorilla in the room. Brock Berglund was on the sidelines in the TSU game wearing number 4. He had a North Texas jersey on, was warming up with the quarterbacks. Obviously, Evan and I spoke before you came on. Derek Thompson's our quarterback, and Mac defended that point during the coaches' show. But can you give us a little more insight? I know you've been the primary source for all information relating to this new quarterback that's shown up on the scene. Can you give us a little update in terms of what you're finding out there?
Well, I think the interesting thing this last week was there's always been the question of how much eligibility would he have? When would he be eligible? Why would he go to JUCO and then, you know, not stay? And I mean, the thing that kind of came to light this last week was just the fact that apparently, at least, this, you know, what I was told, and I've got no reason to doubt this, was that a big part of the decision once he got to JUCO was they started looking at what it would take for him to transfer and, you know, be somewhere and be able to play the next year. Because the eventual goal for Berglund, obviously, is to be an impact player at the Division I level. The thinking was he could go to JUCO, play for a year, transfer out, go somewhere else, and then have a couple of years to potentially be the starter somewhere. And what I was told, and there's no reason to doubt it, is that the problem was going to be academically that was not going to be feasible. Because there's always that part, schools are going to want you to transfer in, and there's going to be certain parameters there. And when they looked at it closer, he was going to need to have graduated and gotten his 2-year degree. And that really wasn't going to be feasible because he would have had to have picked up an additional 36 hours in 1 year, which is 18 hours a semester, which is a heck of a lot. And he would have missed spring practice. So So they started to look at it, is it really worth it to stay, play 1 year at a JUCO, and then have to stay all the way to the end, and then you go transfer into somewhere else, you know, and you've burned a year at a JUCO, and then you're coming in the fall, you've already used your redshirt year. At that point, you've got 2 years left to play, and you're going to use one of those years when you're walking in the door in August. It seems like a real big stretch to be competing for the starting quarterback job. You miss all spring. So then that's what went into the decision to go to North Texas at this point.
Brett, some people in the chat room had mentioned the play calling. You know, we saw it one way against LSU, different way last week. Do you think it'll be really opened up against K-State, or do you think they're just going to try to play it like they did LSU and open it up for Troy?
You know, it's always hard to say. I mean, I would think the way you'd approach this is you would save your big bullets for when it matters in conference play. And I know everybody thinks, you know, you load up and you go for it in the non-conference games. You know, and maybe I can see that point. But North Texas has beaten, is what, 1-42 all-time against ranked teams. Kansas State's loaded. You're on the road. It's a long, 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 long shot at best for you to be competitive in that game. And North Texas has gone this route a lot of times in the past. It's different than a couple of years ago when Kansas State was unranked and it was a season-ending game and they were a 6-6 team. I mean, this is legitimately a Big 12 title contender. I mean, I'll be interested to see the way they play, but I would think if I'm looking at it, I would be real hesitant to lay it all out on the line there and then have to turn around next week and play, you know, a Troy team that, you know, beat UAB. You know, granted, UAB may not be the best team. And, you know, they were right in it with Lafayette until they turned it over early on in that game. They were up, I think, 7-0, or it was 7-7 or something like that. So I would think they would load up and try to be competitive in the league.
Brett, you talked a little bit about in the Sun Belt conference call notes on your blog the other day about, you know, the conference call. They discussed ULM, which got some votes. What do you think of ULM? Are they kind of a one-man show with that quarterback? I say they got a good defense you mentioned on there. But, I mean, do you see them keeping it up, or do you think this was another situation like when they beat Alabama a few years ago?
I don't know. The interesting thing about ULM is they have everybody back. I think there's something to be said for that. You know, you got a bunch of veteran guys. That quarterback is he's a pretty good player. Ironically, his cousin goes to, I think it's to Denton High School. He plays at Denton High, but for what it's worth. But, you know, I think that quarterback's pretty good. That defense is pretty good. They've got some other, you know, some pieces around him. I think the running back's name is Jairus Edwards, if I'm not mistaken. But, you know, this is one of those deals where if they're ever going to do it, it seems like this is going to be their year.
What was their preseason? What were they expected to do preseason? Where did they fall in the preseason rankings for the Sun Belt?
I don't remember where they were picked. It seemed to me like they were picked in the middle. They were picked in the middle of the league. You know, they weren't picked real high. They weren't picked real low. I mean, the argument with them was they had everybody back. And okay, well, you got everybody back. Theoretically, you ought to be able to make the run at it. And, you know, everybody forgets that Monroe, I mean, they did finish 6-6 a couple of times, and they just have never really gotten over the hump. And that's, you know, that's been the case with ULL, too. But Colton Browning, I mean, he's a junior. I mean, he's there. Jairus Edwards is a junior. He's been there a long time. Brent Leonard, the senior from Keller, he's been a player there for a long time. May, the other wide receiver, he's been there for a long time. And, you know, you start looking across there, and it's, you know, a lot of guys that have played some ball. They're a little younger on defense. But, you know, R.J. Young was a kid that transferred in from Arizona, starting for him at linebacker. You know, he was a high – and he was playing at Arizona. I think it was Arizona. But, you know, he was playing quite a bit. And the interesting thing about ULM, too, is they just recruit the Dallas area real heavily. I remember Vincent Eddy very nearly committed to North Texas, and now he's, or was at least flirting with North Texas, and he's starting a cornerback for him. And, you know, just a lot of guys from around. Cordero Smith's from Garland. You know, like I said, R.J. Young's from DeSoto. Yeah, one of their backup defense, both are defensive ends on one side. One's from Richardson. You know, so there's a lot of familiar names. Tony Cook, backup wide receiver, he's from DeSoto. Another starting wide receiver from Wiley. You know, there's just a lot of familiar names out there. Josh Allen, he was a really highly recruited player out of Cedar Hill, and somehow he ended up going to Monroe, but he's their starting center. You know, another guy. There are other right guards from Grand Prairie.
Brett, we can't have you on without asking, and just for a basketball update. You know, we had an interview on the board, you know, that someone did with Tony. He did a great job. I mean, this guy is just flawless. I mean, has he made one mistake since he's been at North Texas? But can you give us an update on the basketball side of things? What's going on with B-ball?
I don't know. I think the interesting thing was the commitment they picked up from another big guy. And he was interesting just because the guy has never played a varsity game in his life. And you just don't see that very often. He's going to be a senior this year. He played on JV his freshman and sophomore year. I'll have a story on him in the paper tomorrow. I finally got him on the phone.
And this is Josh Fryer from Kingwood.
JV his freshman and his sophomore year, and then junior year, things didn't work out. He ended up not being in school that year, didn't play. And at that point, you kind of wonder what's going to happen with the guy, but I guess he just played enough summer ball that he is just – I talked to his high school coach, and his high school coach says that he's a Big 12-level athlete. He's 6'8", he's strong as an ox, he's a really good rebounder, good defender, and he just doesn't have a lot of refined basketball skills. But they really believe that if they get this guy into a varsity season, he plays all the way through, and then he goes to college, and he could be, a real big-time player on the college level. So that's that was kind of an interesting development as far as things go lately. They're just stacking up with a lot of big guys, too. That's the other interesting thing. You know, UNT used to be a guard-oriented team with Johnny, and it was no fault of that. I mean, they did a hell of a lot. But since then, they've taken a whole lot of big-time post players or big post players.
Well, Brett, we always appreciate the information and getting the updates from you, and you're kind of a fixture here, so we always appreciate having you on every week.
And, Brett, we will say that ULM plays Auburn this week, so we'll get to see what they really are made out of and see how they do against them. Obviously, Auburn's no LSU, but they still got a lot of game there. So anything else coming up? What can we look forward to this week besides your article on the basketball situation, Brett? What else we got going?
Well, actually, I spent a lot of time this week talking to Coach McCarney, and I also jumped on the conference call and talked to Coach Snyder a little bit about their background. They had some fun stories about, they spent 10 years together on the staff at Iowa. That's a long time for two guys to be on the same staff. 10 years is a long time for anybody in college coaching to be anywhere. But, I talked to some of the guys on the team, talked to McCarney a little bit about their background, talked to Snyder, and then picked up a quote from their press conference about what, McCarney has or Snyder has told them about McCarney's teams. I thought that was pretty interesting. That's something I spent some time on, and that'll be my big, feature kind of package thing in tomorrow's paper.
All right, good stuff. Well, hey, Brett, we appreciate the time, and we will talk to you next week. Hopefully, we'll have some good stuff to talk about.
All right, great. Well, thanks for having me, guys.
Take care.
All right, thanks, Brett. All right. So that was Brett Vito. We do apologize for the $400 piece of crap machine here that's not really working as well as it has in the past. So
bumps in the road, that's all.
Yeah, man, but you know what? We've been doing this since Daryl Dickey's last year. You'd think that we'd have it ironed out, but something just changes on us. So,
gremlins.
You talked about 10 years is a long time for people to be on the same athletic department staff. anyway, I won't go there. But, all right, man. Well, this week, Kansas State, I'm concerned about is a running quarterback.
Yeah, the guy's really talented. They're really deep.
Shifty.
I mean, you know, they're going to smash mouth you. They got speed. I mean, it's a real tough challenge, but, you know, it could be interesting. And we've got a nice little win behind ourselves after beating Texas Southern. You know, the guys are going to be going in this game to win. So I'm real excited about it. I mean, these big games can be blowouts at times, but I like the direction McCartney's going, and I think that we're going to have a good performance at K-State. I really have a gut feeling on that, Evan.
Well, okay, this is obviously not the fight song, but my iPod says this is the fight song playing. So this right here, reason is justification to get a new iPhone.
I think you're fixing to. You're on the list.
Yeah, so, I'm really concerned about that. I feel good about our defense, better than I would have before the season started. But you just never know. I two things that always scare me against North Texas. One of them is the backup quarterback, like we played at Air Force that year. Backup quarterbacks always seem to have a field day against us. And the other one is a running quarterback. There's a lot of things. Now, he throws 10 passes a game. So, but that's the reason why he throws those is because everybody's keying in on him.
Yeah.
So how the secondary, Trice, and those guys are going to handle that, that's going to be a concern. But I'm hoping we can do some good. The game's on TV, so we don't have to drive
TV to
Manhattan.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I'm sure there'll be some watching parties. You'll find that on GoMeanGreen.com. There'll be some updates about that. And
I've got a wedding.
Yeah, you do. You got another wedding. Golly.
Every year, somebody has no respect for football. But the good thing is this game, I'm TiVoing it, so I won't be texting you this game.
And you can always put the earphones in, too.
That's right. I could do that, too. So with that, we will leave and not playing the fight song because my iPod won't play it. It's just playing the intro music, and I'm not sure.
It's cool. It's cool. We'll slide right on that through
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, maybe not. Maybe not.
No, it's just playing. I don't know. Okay, well, we got Bill Withers on there for some. All right, with that, we will let you guys go and have a great great week, great game, and we'll see you next week. Go Mean Green.
Go Mean Green.
Ain't no sunshine when she's gone, and she's always gone too long. Anytime she goes away, wonder this time where she's gone. Wonder if she's gone to stay. Ain't no sunshine when she's gone, and this house just ain't no home. Anytime she goes away.